We'd like to welcome you to the first camp, Camp Caraway, here in North Carolina. Through the years, we've been to many camps, and this is the first time here, but I think we have seen some nice things, and we're looking forward to a wonderful week. You know, it's not, the place is important, and the facilities are important, but the greatest important is that the Lord is here. Yes. And I'd rather be in a barn with some cows sitting around and a horse or two and have the Lord there than any place on earth. But that doesn't mean we cannot sit in a nice place with air conditioning and have the Lord here too. So, I want to welcome so many that have come from so far. Many have traveled long distances, gone many of miles to be here. We got some from overseas. We got some from Canada even. And from the West. And east, way deep south, even to the tips of Florida. But one thing that, no matter what it is, all over this world, the Spirit is moving. Amen. All over this world, as the prophet said would be, all over this world, there's a mighty revelations of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. I was looking in the Old Testament and saw, I like to read about the glory of the Lord. And Saul and old Solomon made all those sacrifices. And he presented the temple to the people and to God. And the glory of the Lord came down and filled the temple with His glory. How much more than this latter house can we not have this glory rest upon the church of the living God? I praise the Lord that He is well able to accomplish more than we could ever think or hope for. In this world that we're in now, and also in this camp, to put it right down where we are. This night, from the day of this whole week of this camp. Hallelujah. And I ask the Lord that He would bless us. That He would anoint us. That He would fill us with His Spirit. That He would touch our bodies, those that need healing. Touch our souls, those that need spiritual healing. Touch our minds and touch our hearts. So when we leave this place, we're better off than we were when we came. I had about four songs in my heart that I thought I'd start out with. And every time I say a word, another one pops in. But It's what we want right now. I thought I'd sing all over the world, but it's this song, it's the anointing. It just keeps this staying right with me. We know that when we're in His presence, the anointing is here. And it's the anointing that comes down from heaven. It's the anointing that breaks every yoke. Come, Holy Spirit. And gently lead us. It's the anointing that makes me whole. Let's stand and sing that tonight. Give yourself over to Him tonight and this whole week for Him to move upon you in a mighty way. It's the anointing coming down from heaven. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Come, Holy Spirit, and gently lead us. It's the anointing that makes me whole. It's the anointing, oh God, that down from heaven. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Holy Spirit, and gently lead us. It's the anointing that makes me whole. Sing it again. It's the anointing. Oh, pray, Lord. Now from heaven. The Spirit is moving. And we'll get to that saw of the song. All over the world, the Spirit is moving. All over the world, as the prophet said would be. All over the world, there's a mighty revelation of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Hallelujah. Let's sing that tonight. All over the world, the Spirit is moving all over the world, as the prophet said would be. All over the world, there's a mighty revelation of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Now the Spirit is moving right here and right there, as the prophet said would be. Right here and right now, there's a mighty revelation of the glory of the Lord, as the waters down in my heart, the Spirit is moving. Deep down in my heart, and my heart, the revelation of the glory. Right here and right now, the Spirit. You know, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you and me. And every time I hear that, it is new life to me. I cannot read that and not feel a fresh anointing every time I read it. That same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you and me, shall give life to or quicken these mortal bodies. We all need a quickening this week. I do. And I know it comes from the Spirit of the living God. And that same power that raised Him from the dead, that rent the death itself, and rent that veil in two, and that stone rolled away. That same Spirit is quickening us tonight, and will quicken us this week. Let's sing that with all our hearts. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, it's your quicker. shall quicken your mortal body. If the Spirit dwell in you, it shall quicken mortal body. If the Spirit dwell in you, it shall quicken your mortal body. Oh, do you believe it tonight? It dwell in you. Do you believe it? It shall quicken your mortal body. If the Spirit dwell in you, it shall quicken. Oh, God, we need it, Lord. Oh, we need you, Lord. It shall quicken your mortal body. If the Spirit would dwell in you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise His name. Shall I say, if the Lord not be able to do more than you can think or imagine, can I not quicken thee in thy infirmity, saith the Lord thy God? Can I not quicken thee and cause thee to stand and stand for my name, saith the Lord? I am well able. I am well able. The one that raised me from the dead is well able to cause thee to rise up from the shackles that's been binding you, saith the Lord your God. I am well able to bring life to you and bring it more than you've ever dreamed, saith the Lord. It is life you need. My life more abundantly coming forth, springing forth like a wellspring of water. Yes. Oh, I, the Lord thy God, do give thee a refreshing of my spirit tonight. I give thee of myself, your Creator. Reach out unto me and believe. Have faith. That what I say in my word, I will ever, ever do. And I will accomplish that which I will send my word to. My word will be accomplished in thee, saith the Lord thy God. Believe and trust, and do not be afraid. Thus saith the Lord.
They are deep and they are healing and they are ever abiding. Avail yourself of the waters of a living God by the Spirit of a living God.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory. Have I not said that greater things he shall do because I go to my Father?
Yes.
Yea, I have called you, I have chosen you, and ye are being found faithful. You can say to this mountain, be thou removed.
Hallelujah.
And cast into the sea, or be healed in the name of Jesus, or be forgiven, or thy shackles be broken in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I have sent my Holy Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, talk in the Spirit, and be led by my Spirit.
Glory. Glory. Praise the Lord.
Even now doth that fountain break forth, saith the Lord. Yea, from deep within you I am coming out, saith the Lord. I am flowing out unto a dry and thirsty land to cure and to solve the problem, saith the Lord. For I am coming out from you. Look not around yourself for the answer, saith the Lord. For it is in me, saith the Lord your God. Yea, and I shall carry you into life. Only believe my word, for I speak unto you.
Yeah.
Yea, I speak unto you. Believe what I say, and fear not, nor be double-minded. For this is the hour, and this is the day, and ye must walk in it, saith
Amen.
The Lord your God.
Amen. Glory to God.
Thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
Living God, I have created each one of you for myself. I have called you. I have chosen you. I have placed my seal upon you for such a time as this. Yea, even are you not as Esther? Are you not as Nehemiah? Are you not as Daniel? Are you not as those that have gone before thee and faced the horrible things that come upon the earth? But they have overcome, and you will overcome. Fear not those things that may be coming, for I am in even those things. And thou shalt begin to understand, and thou shalt begin to overcome all of these things. You will overcome every single thing that comes upon you. Amen. Do not fear, for I am the Lord thy God, and I am strengthening thee for this hour. Thou hast called, thou art mine, and I am thy creator, and my seal of protection is upon you. The Lord thy God doth say this unto the people of the Lord thy God.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
Therefore I say unto thee, my little one, climb up into me. Rest thou in my bosom, my little one.
Yes.
Sing, sing, sing with all your might, that I may be glorified. I may be glorified from your voice. Reach out unto me, my little ones, and sing.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God.
Thank you. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
As the deep crieth unto the deep, let from the depth of your soul cry unto me, my people. I am your Lord, your God, who has called you and separated you into new life, into a new horizon. My people, you walk before me steadfastly. I have called you with the purpose from time to time. I have made you a member in the body of Christ in order to edify the body of Christ, in order to grow in the body of Christ, in order to unite in the body of Christ. My people, walk with me steadfastly, thus saith the Lord. Therefore, my people, it is the time not to rest. My people, it is the time to walk with me intensely, commune with me intensely, pray to me intensely. The times are bad. The times are not the same. It is time for the saints to rise into the kingdom of God. You are the saints, my people. Rise up, saith the Lord. Rise up to the call, to the clarion call, my people. The hour such as this is provided to you, and walk with me and rise up with me, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I have prepared you, my people, for this hour. I have brought you to this hour.
Yeah.
That you may know my power. That you might know my glory. That you may show forth my glory.
my people, I have brought you to this hour for a very holy purpose, and that is to bring the world to me. Yes. That is to show my authority and show my works. Did I not say that greater works would be done than you because I went to the Father? Surely this is the hour where I will show my glory. I will show to the world who I am. Did I not say that you will see me in each other? Did I not say that I will show myself? And I am showing myself, and I will show myself more and more until the perfect day, my people, comes. And the world will see that this I am coming. And the world will one day, soon, see that I am here, saith the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God.
Praise the Lord.
Fear not, saith the Lord. Just come a little closer.
Amen.
Step into the water,
Amen.
Saith the Lord. Partake of the blessings that I have for thee. I have made a promise unto you, my dear children, and my promise is true. Amen. Have I not said unto thee, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee? Amen. Come partake of thy healing now.
Amen.
Come a little closer, saith the Lord.
Amen.
Reach out unto me. Touch me, and I will make you whole. Let your faith arise in me, saith the Lord.
Yes.
My dear children, I have loved you, and I will always love you.
Yes.
If thou would hearken to my voice, and thou would believe me with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, yea, I, the Lord thy God, will bring thee unto that level that I have spoken to thee of, yea, unto higher heights and deeper depths in me. I will strengthen you, I will bless you, and I will make you a great people. For you are mine, saith the Lord, from the very foundation of the earth. I have created you, and I have loved you, and the purpose that I have you on this earth for is to do my will. Walk softly with me, saith the Lord, humble thyself, and know that I am the Lord thy God, and there is none besides me, saith the Lord.
There's nothing more wonderful to start out a camp with anointed singing and also the prophetic word to kind of seal and solidify what God is going to do for us this week. Pray, I said this last week when I was in the service, I said pray, well, the Spirit is saying pray for this camp. When you think about it, pray. Every meeting, pray. Become people of prayer. If you haven't been, then start. Ask the Lord to move in you first, and then in each other. And He will. He won't turn that prayer down. If you ask Him for the Lord, if you ask for the Lord, He will come.
Yes.
And that's one prayer that I know He answers. So pray for one another. Pray for this camp, that mighty things will be done. Not only in this camp, but in you. I think in this kind of a stillness that we are, that Brother Andrew is going to speak to us in a little bit, but I think we're going to partake of the Holy Communion and start preparing your hearts. The communion is a wonderful thing, but we have been taught to examine our hearts before we partake, that we be found worthy to partake. And an examination of our hearts means that I look in there, and if there's anything that the Spirit of God is pointing to that's not right, He wants me to offer it up to Him to be taken care of. He wants me, He wants you to deal with it. And if I have anything against you or me, or you have anything against me, let's get it right. Let's be one, especially this week. More, let's start afresh this week like we never had before. Let there be nothing between us. Let's discern this body of Christ and truly, truly take on this strength of the Almighty and that unity that He asked and He prayed the Father for. Father, that they may be one as we are. And there's some brothers that were called upon that said that they would take the communion if they would come. And if the deacons would come, we'll participate in that. Let this be a time of reverence and time of soul searching. And this would be a good time to, you can sing a song, but search the Lord before this thing you say. See if there's, like I said, if there's anything. Lord, if there's anything in me, anything in you, anything, you pray that prayer. Lord, see if there's any wicked thing in me and lead me into the path. Search me, O Lord. I think the Scripture says, doesn't it? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, O Lord, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And let's partake together tonight of this Holy Communion. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Father of mercy and forgiveness, having looked at ourselves and judged ourselves and put those things before you that we have entered in a way we should not have, we ask your forgiveness.
Yes.
To eat together.
Yes.
Of our bodies, mind, and soul, and spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your body.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God, Father, Father, omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, forgiveness, divine love, and eternal life. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Our Father, we're just so thankful.
We are.
For the opportunity to partake together. Lord, as it said, give us of our sin, the Lord's fortune. Fill us with your Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Let the cleansing,
yeah.
Let the cleansing cleanse us, change us into your image and likeness. Lord, we examine ourselves. We need you.
Yes.
We need your Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We need the cleansing, healing.
Thank you,
we
Lord.
We pray your blessing upon us.
Yes. Oh,
thank
Jesus.
You, Jesus. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
What a wonderful time to be able to partake of the body of Christ. I would like for us to sing one song as Andy comes our way. And I think it's something that we ought to be doing more of, is thanking the Lord for what He's done, but also what He is doing. And the song that just came to me and it just kind of stayed there was, "Thank You, God, for sending Jesus. Thank You, Jesus, that You came. Holy Spirit, won't You tell me? Tell me more about His holy name." We're going to hear from the Word, and it's the Holy Spirit speaking through our brother. But these things are needed. We need to hear more about that lovely name. Amen. So let's just sing that. I don't want to say set the stage. I don't like that word. But just to set the tone for what our wishes are, that we are thankful to God for Jesus.
Amen.
And I want more of Him, don't you?
Yes.
Thank You, God, for sending Jesus. Thank You, Jesus.
Did they tell you about the mic they wanted to put on you?
For me?
Did they tell you about the mic they wanted to put
on
you?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to use this one.
Spirit, oh, you tell me.
Praise the Lord. Well, I guess I can give greetings too. A greeting was given already. We want to welcome everyone for coming here tonight. My name is Andy Snoke, if you don't know my name. I'm from Colorado. I don't usually speak the first night. I'm not a first night speaker. The most challenging night to speak is the first night. You have traveled, some people here got up at 3 in the morning to get here. Traveled a long ways, and then you had a great big meal, and it's hot, and you know what happens. So you normally need the dynamo on the first night, but tonight you're going to have to settle for me. I hope I'm not like that preacher that was so boring. He had a big service one day, and kind of sad, someone actually died in the service. So they called the EMTs, and the EMTs came in, and they pulled out 3 people before they got the right one. So I'm hoping that's not me tonight. But I'm glad that you're here, and I have a few things floating through my mind. I have some text that I'm going to read to you in just a minute. But this is, in essence, a miniature of a Feast of Tabernacles. And I want to talk about that a little bit. A Feast of Tabernacles is very, very important. A Feast of Tabernacles went from Sabbath to Sabbath, and tremendous things happened during the Feast of Tabernacles. Let me just give you a little hint of what's to come. The Feast of Tabernacles took place in the Old Testament, took place in the New Testament, takes place in the Kingdom of God. So there's some important things about the Feast of Tabernacles. Feast of Tabernacles is a time of gathering together in the presence of God. The Feast of Tabernacles, they were commanded, the Israelites were commanded to leave your job, leave your work, leave the things you were doing, leave home behind, leave the bills behind. Don't worry about cutting the grass. Don't worry about your neighbors. Don't worry about the enemy coming in. Go to Jerusalem and build these little booths out of sticks and worshiped there for a week as a reminder that God delivered you and provided for you for a whole week. And in a minute, we're going to get to some tremendous things that happened during this period of time. The Old Testament, it's not just the Old Testament, it's alive today. Things happen when the people of God gather together. When you gather together in His name, things happen. So without you even realizing it, you're fulfilling the Feast of Tabernacles just by coming to a camp. That's what a camp is all about, leaving everything behind. Now, Rick talked about a little bit to start with, but we would be happy even if there were cows here and pigs here and so forth. But I got to admit, I do enjoy what God has given us here. We don't gather in buildings made out of sticks anymore. We have salad bars and air conditioning and basketball and swimming pools, and we really have it easy, don't we? But still, God is here. The Lord is still here. I want to pause a minute here. How many are here for who has never been to this camp before, North Carolina? Stand up. Everyone that's been here that's a first-timer, everyone stand up. And everyone, give them a round of applause. Okay. Thank you. It's a joy to have you. Brother Bernard is here from Grenada, the Spice Island, and his wife, Rosalyn. Stand up, Brother Bernard. Brother Bernard is one of the traveling deacons in the Caribbean. And as Rosalyn, would you stand up a minute there? And it's a great joy to have him. Praise the Lord. We'll have an opportunity to hear him sing, hopefully, during the week. He's a great and minister. A great joy to have them with us. Darren and Cheryl Olson are here for the first time. I didn't realize it was the first time. But, Cheryl's first time. Okay, you haven't been here. Well, we welcome you. So we welcome everybody. Everybody is a special guest. Now, I love the Bible. The Bible is real. Amen? And I tell you what, I think if we were, I don't know how you measure, if we were to measure how much of the Bible we understand, it'd probably be about 1%. It's tiny. The amount of revelation that God has in the Bible is enormous. And if I get an opportunity to speak later in the week, I may or may not. I've been thinking a lot about the book of Daniel. I've been reading the book of Daniel lately. And thinking of the scriptures, how powerful the scriptures are. And there are many places throughout the scriptures, I don't know why colleges and universities don't teach the scriptures. It's not like just God stuff. It is like unreal stuff. The book of Daniel, second chapter of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar's vision, he sees four kingdoms. These are the four kingdoms on earth, worldwide kingdoms. And then he sees a fifth one come in the body of Christ. He prophesies in later chapters in great detail of those four kingdoms that didn't come for centuries. And Daniel records them in great detail. He records Alexander the Great coming and his conquest and the fact that he died early and he had no children. His kingdom went to the four winds, he says. He had four generals that took over his kingdom. Tremendous detail. Ninth chapter of Daniel, the 70 years. Daniel's pondering, I'm getting off the subject here, but he's pondering why they're in captivity. And by the way, this is another interesting thing. Excuse me for kind of running around back and forth. But Israel was supposed to, every seventh year, was supposed to set it aside as a tithe year to the Lord, supposed to let their land lay fallow. And they didn't do that. They disobeyed God for 490 years. They owed God 70 years of Sabbaths. I'm sorry, Sabbaths. Of a Sabbath rest, a Sabbath year. And then they went into captivity for 70 years. It's almost like God said, you know what? You don't obey me. I told you what to do, Israel. You disobeyed me 490 years, but you don't realize I kept track. And now you owe me 70 years. Anyway, that lesson to me is pay attention to what the Bible says. Amen. Pay attention to it. There are consequences. So I want to talk a little bit about the Feast of Tabernacles. I'm going to read you some things that happened during it, some amazing things that happened. But as I read this, keep in mind that that's where we are here tonight. We're experiencing, if you will, a Feast of Tabernacles. And as I said, I'll read some of this. Some of this I may skip. Tremendous, tremendous things happened during Feast of Tabernacles in the past. Tremendous things will happen in the future. tremendous things during Feast of Tabernacles, or, not to get legalistic, whenever there's a gathering of the people of God, things happen. Tremendous things happen. While we're gathered in this room, while we're gathered here this week, in our mind, our attitudes, we should be believing that God is going to move by His Spirit because we have gathered together in His name. A Feast of Tabernacle, if you will, is important. It is where you meet God. You put things behind, and you go and you meet God, and you talk to God, and God talks to you. This camp, North Carolina, we just had one in North Battleford. There's going to be one in the Caribbean here in a couple weeks. There's going to be one in Spokane. They're tremendous blessings. They're tremendous opportunities for all of us, not just to be inspired, you know, hearing a fancy message or some nice music and kind of uplifted. It's a place where we go to meet God. We are touched. We are changed. We are transformed by the very presence of God. It is an opportunity. So first off, I want to applaud you for being wise enough to take advantage of that opportunity to be here. I thank you parents, I thank you young people for being here. But I also need to say the Feast of Tabernacles, you're here. You have an opportunity in a smaller measure of having a Feast of Tabernacle, if you will, every Sunday. Did you know that? Every Sunday. The Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is. Every Sunday, you have not only an opportunity to sit in His presence, I want to say another thing, you have a responsibility. Did you know that? The children of Israel, and we'll get into the scriptures here in a minute, God told them, I'm requiring you once a year, I'll even give you the date, to go to Jerusalem and spend that week in my presence. I'm requiring you to do it. Just like in the book of Daniel, he required them to have that Sabbath year. They went 490 years without doing it, and God still kept track. Here he says, I'm requiring you to do it. God requires us to worship Him. He requires. Now, another thing that I always have to throw out there when we gather together in this camp or a local assembly on Sunday morning, don't misunderstand, it is not all about you. It is all about God. Amen. It's not, and I've said this before, your local church, this camp meeting, is not Burger King. It is not have it your way. You know, a person might say, well, you know what, I like to visit that church, but I don't like to visit that church because the singing is so off. Or someone's off key, or Uncle So-and-so, I don't want to hear Uncle So-and-so. You know, he's our local elder. But I like them over here. If I only went to that assembly, I'd be happy all the time. Don't say that. If there is an opportunity to gather in your local assembly, that's where God requires you to be. Amen. He requires, not optional. It's church, camps, local assembly services. It's not about us. We are going to be, I'm going to make you a guarantee, before this week is over, everybody in this room is going to be blessed. You're going to walk away singing. But still, it isn't about us. It is about us coming and worshiping God and saying, Lord, I'm taking a week out of my vacation, my time, my work, and I'm coming to give thanks to You and to worship You just by my very presence. I'm making a statement. I love You, God, and I thank You for what You have done for us, and I'm obeying You. That's what the Feast of Pentecost is all about. It isn't about us. It is all about God. So I'm going to read you some text, and I'll try to read this quickly. When I'm done, if anybody wants these notes, just give me your email. I'll be glad to send them to you. Just some background information on the Feast of Tabernacles. Feast of Tabernacles, also known as the Feast of Booths, is the seventh and last feast that the Lord commanded Israel to observe. One of the three feasts that the Jews were to observe each year by going to appear before the Lord your God in the place where which He shall choose, Deuteronomy 16:16. The importance of the Feast of Tabernacles can be seen in how many places it is mentioned in Scripture. In the Bible, we see many important events that took place at the time of the Feast of Tabernacles. For one thing, it was at this time that Solomon's temple was dedicated to the Lord, 1 Kings 8:2. It was also at the Feast of Tabernacles that the Israelites, who had returned to rebuild the temple, gathered together to hear Ezra proclaim the word of God to them, Nehemiah 8. I heard that in a prophecy tonight. Ezra's preaching resulted in a great revival as the Israelites confessed their sins and repented of them. It was also during this feast that Jesus said the famous words, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." That was during one of the Feasts of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles takes place on the 15th day in the Hebrew month. Doesn't matter so much now. The feast begins 5 days after the Day of Atonement, and at the time of the fall harvest had just been completed. It was a time of joyous celebration as Israelites celebrated God's continued provision for them in the current harvest and remembered his provision and protection during the 40 years in the wilderness. As one of the three feasts that all native-born male Jews were commanded to participate in, the Feast of Tabernacles is mentioned multiple times in Scripture, sometimes called the Feast of the Ingathering, the Feast of the Lord, or the Feast of Booths. It was also the time when they brought their tithes and their offerings to the temple. That was an important part of the Feast of Tabernacles, was their tithes. With the influx of people coming to Jerusalem at that time, we can only imagine what the scene must have looked like. Thousands upon thousands of people coming together to remember and celebrate God's deliverance and provision, all living in temporary shelters or booths as part of the requirements of the feast. Imagine what that was like in Jerusalem. Thousands of people coming, smelly people, you know, without having the luxuries that we have at this camp, and yet they still came. We find God's instructions for celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles in Leviticus 23, given at a point in history right after God had delivered Israel from bondage in Egypt. It begins with the holy convocation or Sabbath day when the Israelites were to stop working to set aside the day for worshiping God. On each day of the feast, they were to offer an offering made by fire to the Lord, and then after 7 days of feasting, again, the eighth day was to be a holy convocation, and they were to cease from work and offer another sacrifice to God. Lasting 8 days, just bear with me here, the Feast of Tabernacles begins and ends with a Sabbath day of rest. During the 8 days of the feast, the Israelites would dwell in booths or tabernacles that were made from the branches of trees. The Feast of Tabernacles, like all the feasts, were instituted by God as a way of reminding the Israelites and every generation of their deliverance by God from Egypt. The three pilgrims' feasts, which were all Jewish males, were commanded to appear before the Lord in the place he chooses. Once again, it was a command to them to do this. It wasn't optional. They were commanded to fulfill these feasts. I'll go on and skip some of this here. There are some who believe that the Feast of Tabernacles, it was during the feast that Jesus was born. While we celebrate Christ's birth on December 25, most scholars acknowledge that this tradition was begun in the 4th century A.D. by the Roman Catholic Church, and the exact day of Jesus' birth is unknown. Some of the evidence that Jesus might have been born early in the year during the Feast of Tabernacles includes the fact that it would be unlikely for shepherds to still be in the field with their sheep in December, which is in the middle of the winter, but it would have been likely they were in the fields tending sheep at the time of the Feast of Tabernacles. The strong possibility that Jesus was born at the time of the Feast of Tabernacles is also seen in the words that John wrote in John 1:14. I like this verse. It says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The word John chose to speak of Jesus dwelling among us is the word tabernacle, which simply means to dwell in a tent. Jesus tabernacled among us. I'm only reading all of this to show you the significance of this time of gathering that God is required for us to do. I'll just read a little bit, Leviticus 23:33, just touch on it here. This is the actual Feast of Tabernacles. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days to the Lord. And the first day there shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. For 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. On the eighth day you shall have a holy convocation." And goes on and on and on and gives a long description of what to do. Once again he says, You shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, the boles of leafy trees, and willows of the brook. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. You shall keep it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in during your time here. So it was a very important day. It was a very important day. Zechariah 14:16 talks about it, just touches on it. And in Zechariah is kind of amazing because here we are, I just read you a bunch of scriptures of the Feast of Tabernacles in the Old Testament. Now we get to Zechariah. Zechariah is looking into the age of the kingdom, possibly beyond the 1,000-year period of the kingdom. And he says, Zechariah 14:16, it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Israel shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And he goes on about a lot of great things that happened during the kingdom of God. The only reason I say that, there are so many things in the Old Testament, we look at it and say, well, that's just old law, that's just Old Testament stuff. We live in the New Testament today. And when we find that they're in the Old Testament, but they're also predicted to be in the kingdom of God. There's some of these things that are present truth. They're not old truth. It's not just old law. We don't follow the letter of the law. We're not legalistic, but there is truth in them pertaining today. There's tremendous truth. That's why we need revelation. We need fresh, flowing revelation from God that's been balanced, that's been checked, that's been monitored as a brethren check it with one another. We need that free-flowing revelation because of the tremendous truths that are in the Old Testament. Here's this time of gathering that God puts the stamp of approval on and says, from time to time, I'm going to bring you as individuals together in a local assembly. That's my feast. Honor it. I command you to do it. And then it's almost like he says, from time to time, I'm going to call you to gather together, I'll use our words, as a camp meeting and be blessed. And I'm going to command you to do it. And then he says, and I'll read it to you here in just a minute, in Zechariah, that in the age of the kingdom, after all these nations have warred against Israel, and I step into the picture and I set things straight, I'm going to command those nations to come and stand in my presence and worship me in the Feast of Tabernacles. And then we'll read in Isaiah 2 and Micah, the 4th chapter, he says, I'm going to gather all the nations of the world and they're going to have their own Feast of Tabernacles. What you are doing today here is a foretaste, a sample of what is to come. What we are enjoying right now is just a tiny sample of what is going to happen to the nations someday, to all of the nations. These truths, we need the Old Testament, we need the New Testament. You know, a lot of times, I remember when I first became a Christian, the church I went to gave us New Testaments, not Old Testaments, New Testaments. And you can go to the store and buy a full Bible or a New Testament. We need all of it. But we need this revelation more than anything. The New Testament, the new, is in the old contained. And the old is in the new explained. The new is in the old concealed. And the old is in the new revealed. But we need revelation. And there is coming a great day. Daniel saw it. Daniel saw tremendous things. Tremendous things. There's coming a great day. All the things that you read about, I find it interesting. The things that we see in the newspapers right now and on CNN and Fox. The things that are happening in Europe. The unrest that's throughout the world. According to the Bible, let me give you a little warning. It's not going to get better. Amen. It will only get worse. It will only get worse. Gross darkness will cover the earth. Gross darkness of peoples. But the Lord shall arise upon you. When God puts His hand and seal approval on the church, there will be great darkness in the earth. The church, the world won't keep getting a little better and a little better and a little better and a little nicer and a little more diplomatic. And then we enter into the kingdom of God. The world will get worse and worse and more evil and more evil. The things that you're seeing right now, times 100. But then the King will come. But these things that we're seeing happening in the world, I heard it in one of the prophecies tonight, we should have no fear because God is in charge. He is in control. You read the second chapter of Daniel again and you find it is already, history is already written. Daniel saw that church, that rock cut out of the mountain without hands, the church coming and destroying all the kingdoms of the earth. Amen. You could get into more detail than that in the ninth chapter of Daniel. As he's pondering this vision that he had, God gave him a vision, and in essence he saw 483 years from the time that a decree was given to rebuild Jerusalem until Jesus came. You can take a counter out and go to Nehemiah, the second chapter, the fifth verse, find out when the actual day the decree was given to rebuild the temple, count ahead in the future 483 years, and you will come to the exact day, Luke 19, when Jesus came down the streets of Jerusalem, and they said, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. 483 years later, exactly to the day. Daniel prophesies about things that will happen beyond that. History is already recorded. It's already recorded. But this is the verse I get great joy out of. I'll just cover a couple more here. Isaiah 2, as I said. It says Isaiah 2, verse 2. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains. What does that mean? A mountain is a kingdom. The kingdom of the Lord's house, his house is his church. The kingdom of God, his church, shall be established on the top of the mountains, or it shall be established on top of all the governments of men. And it shall be exalted above the hills. In other words, it shall be exalted above all powers, all kingdoms, all political parties. It shall be exalted above the hills, and listen, and all nations shall flow to it. That day is coming as sure as we are in this room. God has a plan, and I take great joy, he will complete it. There's an old saying that says, God made the plan, and then he made the man. Not the other way around. God didn't make the man, and things just didn't work out, so then he had to come up with a plan. Not that. God made the plan. All nations would bow down before him someday. It's recorded. And then he made the man. It is a sure thing. Where we fit in the picture is you have to decide, do I want to follow him or not? You can decide if you want to be part of the plan or let someone else be part of the plan. But at the end of the day, he's still going to build his house. It's going to be built. You can be a builder, you can be a brick in the temple, but at the end of the day, it will be built and it will be beautiful. And you have an opportunity to be in it or out of it. Back in the days of Noah, when God called Noah, and he preached for 120 years. I've said this before, a couple things about Noah. He was definitely not a good preacher. He saved 8 souls. And he definitely was not a very good contractor. It took him 120 years to build this ark. 120 years. Calls him a preacher of righteousness in the New Testament. And he only saves 8 souls. And they're all in his home. All in his family. They're all part of his family. But there was one thing that he was real good at. And that was being faithful. There was one thing he was good at. God said, I want you to build this ark. It had never rained on the face of the earth until that time. Just a moisture of dew came up at night. God says, I'm going to send a great rain. I want you to build this giant ark in the middle of nowhere on dry land. And he didn't question God. He did it. He was faithful. He did everything that God told him to do. He still preached for 120 years, but God gave him one instruction to do, and he built the ark according to the blueprint, and then the day came, and the door was shut. And there were only 2 types of people at that time. Before that time, I can make up people and say that there were all kind. Who knows what kind of people there were on the face of the earth? We'll say Chinese or Japanese. They weren't really here then, but there could have been different types of people. But when it started raining, there were suddenly only 2 types of people, the ones in the ark and the ones out of the ark. There were only 2 types of people when it started to rain, the ones that were faithful and the ones that weren't faithful. That's the choice that God gives us. Do you want to be in the ark? Do you want to be faithful? or do you want to be on the outside trying to tread water? But the Bible says, all nations shall flow to it. All nations. You know, the world struggles at solving their own problems. They will never solve their own problems. Mankind can never solve their own problems. Never. I was always disappointed living in America, which is one of the greatest nations on the face of the earth, when we fell into a debt crisis, and not to get into politics, but we're broke. $20 trillion in debt? $20 trillion? I mean, it's like a debt that can't be paid. But I wished it never happened. You'll never hear this. I wish some great senator or a congressman or president would stand up and say, ladies and gentlemen of the United States, we're broke. And I'd like to ask you to stand with me in prayer, to petition God to help us get out of this mess. You will never see that. You'll never see it. Wouldn't it be something if our political leader said, you know what? We're in a hole so deep we can't dig out. Let's go talk to God. That should be the first thing we do. In your home, if you're digging a hole, the first thing you got to be doing is saying, what's God want me to do? You know, I need to get out of this mess. Lord, what would you have me to do? The next step you do is you go and talk to your local elders. But the day says, the day will come that all nations shall flow to it, to this mountain. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. Oh, that's just glorious to me to read that. That the world someday, now this is after a tremendous tribulation, after a tremendous payment has been made to the unfaithful, but there will come a day that people will want to hear what God has to say about things. The Bible says in Isaiah, the days will come when we would call bitter sweet and sweet bitter. You know, light darkness and darkness light. Are we in that day today? Absolutely. And I won't get into politics or mention anything, but there are things today that if you stand up for what's right, people have names for you for being wrong. There are adjectives people use to describe you for taking a stand. That's the day we live in. There's something wrong with you if you stand up for something that's good. But the day will come when all nations shall flow to him during a Feast of Tabernacles. That verse, he shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Now this is after a few things have to happen. Has to be a tribulation. Has to be that appearing of the great glorious body of Christ. A lot of things have to happen before this day comes. But it's going to happen. The day is going to happen when people are going to take their John Deere tractors and International Harvesters they're going to take their Abram tanks and their guns and their jets and meld them down and turn them into John Deere tractors and International Tractors and beat their swords into plowshares. That scripture is repeated in Micah, the 4th chapter. I understand, I haven't seen it, but that same scripture I understand is etched in front of the United Nations, which is so ironic. That is on the United Nations. The United Nations, who was so far from walking with God and enticing and asking God, God, what do you have me? I remember Ted Turner said that the United Nations is a group of wealthy nations and people who take money from poor people to give it to wealthy people in poor nations. But nevertheless, we look to God for the solutions. And the solutions isn't the United Nations. God bless them. The solution is the kingdom of God. I'm going to give you one last scripture that is just, it'll knock your socks off if you're still awake, I should say. We haven't called the EMTs in yet, so I think I'm doing okay. One last scripture that's just, and we're only going to touch on it. It's just astounding about another Feast or Tabernacle. Matthew, the 17th chapter. I'll read this to you. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother. He led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as a light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to him, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here if you wish. Let us make here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Now here's the picture. It's an awesome picture. In fact, we can't get into all of it, but in the 16th chapter towards the end, you'll find that he's talking to his disciples, and he closes it out by saying, there are some of you here that will not see death until you see the kingdom of God come. Some people thought, wow, what's that mean? That must mean that some of those disciples are hiding in the cave somewhere 2,000 years later, because he said that they wouldn't see death until they saw the kingdom of God. The next chapter is the Mount of Transfiguration, and he takes some of those disciples up there, and they get a picture of the kingdom of God. That's it. They got a picture of it. I find it so interesting that as soon as they see Jesus transform, first off, something powerful happens. Something powerful happens. They see Jesus shining like the sun. They saw Elijah, who never died. He was caught up in a whirlwind. They saw Moses, who did die, and his body was disputed over. You read that in the book of Jude. And then there's the disciples that are alive on earth. There are those that were caught away somehow. There are those that were in the grave. And there are those still on earth united with Christ. All in one verse. Pretty amazing, isn't it? But the central figure is Christ, bringing together those that have passed away, those that have been caught up like Elijah, and the disciples that are still on earth, right there in one picture. And there's Jesus in the middle of it. And then he goes on to say, what I find is interesting, a little comment that Peter said. Peter said, Lord, it's good for us to be here if you wish. Let us make three tabernacles. Now, why did he say that? Well, that's the first thing that came into his mind. Lord, you know, this is a great thing. Elijah, Moses, you, nothing could be better than this. Let's build three booths. Why did he say that? Because all of his life, he grew up celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles, not fully recognizing that it was indicating something powerful to come. That there was power whenever the people of God gathered together in the presence of God. And what he was seeing on the Mount of Transfiguration was another Feast of Tabernacles. It was the real one. It was the real deal. It wasn't a shadow. And I like what Jesus said, because this speaks to me today. We can look at this and say, oh Lord, if you could just catch us away right now. And the last thing he says, he says, while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. What do I get out of that? What I get out of that is this. I feel that God is speaking to us today, saying that there is a Feast of Tabernacles that we are enjoying this week. There's a tremendous Feast of Tabernacles coming that we can't even comprehend. But in the meantime, hear him. Yeah. Occupy. Listen. Be obedient. Be obedient even when it doesn't feel good. You know, it's so easy to serve the Lord when everything's going great. It's easy to serve the Lord to come here and clap our hands and everyone loves you. And it's easy to serve the Lord, but when things aren't going great, that's when it really counts. Back to Noah building an ark for 120 years. Out of those 120 years, how many days do you think he got up and was just so happy that he could build the ark? You think he ever had a bad day? You think he ever had to take a Tylenol or a leave? Or probably not. You ever think he wanted to sleep in and watch the news or just take some time away, have a vacation, whatever? No. Well, I'm sure he wanted to. But he got up every day, even when it didn't feel good. Got his little tools out and went out there on the job and just kept doing his work. Kept chipping away. That's what God wants us to do. Hang in there. Keep chipping away. Keep being faithful when things are good and when things are bad. Just be faithful. Continue to be faithful. And as I said, the day came, when there were only two types of people. There were the faithful and there were those that weren't faithful. It was Noah's choice. I find it interesting that people in the 25th chapter, I think it is, of Matthew, People talk about Noah to talk about the rapture, and I'm not even going to talk about that because there's so much that isn't known. But it talked about one being in the field and caught away and this and that. But it starts off by saying something like this: in the last days, it will be as it was in the days of Noah. That's the part that gets me. It'll be as it was in the days of Noah. And of course, everyone says, well, some were caught away in the flood and some were protected. That's true. But this is what I get out of that. As it was in the day of Noah, God is looking for a Noah generation. He's looking for a Noah generation who he says, I'm going to give you a hammer and a saw and some nails. I want you to do some work and just be obedient to what I ask you to do. That's what he's looking for. Not looking for superstars. He's just looking for people to pick up their tools and go to church and do their ministry and do what he's asked them to do on a daily basis, being faithful day by day. I'm going to read you one last verse, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, after I read it, it may leave more questions than answers, but I'm still going to read it to you. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 is tied into what we just read about Jesus being on the Mount of Transfiguration. There's the dead in Christ, Moses. There's Elijah, those that are caught away. There's a disciple still on the earth, and they're still joined in Jesus. Right there. Anyway, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But we do not want you to be uninformed. I think the King James says ignorant. I like that. First, I like the Lord saying to you, put your name in there. I'll say Andy. I feel like the Lord saying, Andy, I don't want you to be ignorant. You ever feel that way? That's what God is saying. I don't want you being ignorant. God is saying that. You can say that to your kids a lot of times, but the Lord is saying, Paul is saying here, I don't want you to be uninformed, ignorant. Brothers, this is a blessing, about those who are asleep. Now, he's talking about people that died. He will never use the word death in this verse, the scripture. Concerning those who are asleep, like Moses. I like this next verse, part of the verse. That you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. And by the way, that's an important verse. Those that have no hope. Every one of us in this room has experienced grief. Every one of us in this room will experience heart-stabbing grief. It's natural. It comes with the territory. And he says, I want to tell you this, that you grieve as others who do not have hope. That's the difference. As you know, we all lost the church, a beautiful 18-year-old girl, a couple of weeks ago in Canada. A little town of 350 people, 1,400 people come to the funeral. She loved the Lord. She walked with the Lord. We canceled Monday services in respect and honor for the family. And on Tuesday, the camp continued. I think it was Wednesday night or Thursday, Mom and Dad and the children came to the camp. Just days away from this horrible grief. And they're in pain. And they came forward. And we were all able to pray with them and support them. And the lives that were touched by this 18-year-old girl was just phenomenal. Phenomenal. That's the light that you and I have, by the way. You're influencing people that you don't even know. But I looked at the family, and there's no way you can ever, 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 ever say, I understand how you feel. You can't. The pain, unbelievable, heart-wrenching, stabbing pain. But there was something that kept popping up in my mind and something that I saw in their faces. I don't want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, but you may not grieve, you still grieve, as others who do not have no hope. This family, just like you and I, are filled with hope. When it's over, it's not all over. Isn't that wonderful? I'm straying a little bit here. But I thank God that when it's all over, it's not all over. There's hope. And by the way, hope in the Bible doesn't mean, oh, I hope something's going to happen. I hope it's going to rain tomorrow. That's not what hope means. In the Bible, hope means confident expectation. We have a confident expectation that these things are real and they're alive and they're real. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left unto the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Last verse, I love this. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Now, I have no idea how this is going to work. I know there's the rapture's theory. I don't understand any of that. Why? Because God hasn't revealed it. But I know it's in the Bible. And there's something here, some tremendous experience here that God has reserved for his people. And with that, we encourage one another. I'm straying a little bit here. But the Feast of Tabernacles. We have gathered this week. This is the first night. Look at the things that happened during the feast. The temple was dedicated. Jesus cried aloud on the night of the feast to be filled with that living water from God. Nehemiah spoke during the feast of the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the temple. Here we talk about on the day of Mount of Transfiguration when they saw Jesus transfigured and he shone like the sun, and they saw the dead and those that were caught up all with Christ in one place. It was immediately they thought of the Feast of Tabernacles, that time period. We just read where all nations someday will gather at the mountain of the house of God at the church to hear his ways. Tremendous things happen whenever the church gathers. That's a Feast of Tabernacle. This week, this is the first night. This is the first night. This is a Feast of Tabernacles. This is a tiny little bitty Feast of Tabernacles right here. What can happen in these meetings? What will happen during these meetings? I'll tell you what will happen. God will meet your expectations. If you do not expect anything from God this week, I guarantee you, you will not receive anything from God this week. If you expect something from God this week, God is going to move. He will meet your expectations. He is looking for people that are full of faith and full of hope that he can move in our midst tonight. So, if you could just bear with me just for 1 minute here and then we're going to close. God is here. He's right here, right now. He's a miracle worker. The power of God is right here. I want to take a minute and pray for Anita Love. Can we do that? We're going to take a minute. She's not able to be at all the services. I'd like you all to stand for a minute. It's the first night. God is not limited by anything. I'm just going to ask our sister Anita to come up. I'm going to ask for the elders and brethren to come. And we're going to just pray that God touch her mightily. Jesus is here. This is our Feast of Tabernacles. And we're just going to take this opportunity right now. Would you, brethren, just come and pray with her and let the Lord do his work. Brethren here are going to pray for our sister Anita. I'm just going to ask right now that everyone stay in their seat. And once again, those that have the gift of faith and the gift of healing, I just want you to stretch your hands forward.
Amen.
I want you to think about our sister Anita and pray on her behalf right now as the brethren here pray for her.
Father, Lord God, come before you, Father, this evening.
Yes.
We are your people, Father.
Amen.
We are the sheep of your pasture. We belong to you, Father, and you belong to us. Your word, Father, is our possession. What you have said unto us, Father, is ours to lay hold upon. Father, today we come before you.
Lord.
And we lay this burden, Father, at your
Amen.
Feet.
Yes.
The price has been paid, Father.
Yes.
Has been broken.
Yes.
And we lay this before thee.
Hallelujah.
Your hand, Father, would rest upon our sisters.
Hallelujah.
Let your Spirit, Father, work on our behalf. Father, there is nothing that can stand before us that you have not already, Father, opened the way for us to stand and to enter in.
Oh, hallelujah.
You have paid all,
hallelujah.
Father, that
hallelujah.
We might enter into all.
Hallelujah.
Father, we come before you tonight. We ask, Father, that the Spirit of the Lord would unlock the heavy burden and
yes.
set the captive.
Hallelujah.
Break every yoke, Father, and undo every heavy burden. Let there be deliverance in the house of the Lord. Father, let it be, Father, even as we lay this before you this evening, let the Spirit of the Lord do a work that only you, Father, are able to do. Strengthen our hearts, Father, and strengthen our confidence. We stand, Father, in weakness, but the Spirit of the Lord is our strength. Father, we stand before thee tonight. We let this, we bring this burden before you. Father, we pray that from this hour, dear Lord, there would be a change and a turn, an opening of the door, Father, and a rising up into our strength, in our hours, our Father, walk in our strength. Father, let your life flow with liberty, and let it flow with abundance, Father, that that which has begun, Father, not end until the work is complete, we pray. We bring it before you this evening, Father, and we look unto you that the Lord would hear and do, even as we have asked of thee, Father. For the Lord is unto us our deliverer and our strength.
Yes.
And we stand in that, Father, this evening.
Yes.
We give thanks to all you and you.
Amen.
Brother Keith to begin to make his way up here. Praise the Lord. As the week progresses, we will have opportunity for others to be prayed over for their needs. Our sister was not going to be with us just for a couple of meetings. We wanted to give her opportunity tonight.
Praise God. Good evening. Hallelujah. All right. I like to hear that. I know you're tired, but we've heard a wonderful message. The Spirit of the Lord has been with us. You may be seated. Thank you. Just wanted to go over, first of all, welcome, as was mentioned at the beginning of the service, to Camp Caraway, and we're going to have some comments made to each of you by the representative from Caraway, Jeff Cones. He and his staff have just done a fabulous job. We've been working with them actually for about a year now. They've tolerated us and done a very good job of tolerating us and being very patient with us. Just a couple of things that I wanted to go over. There are, if you have any questions about where things are or what's on the schedule, there is this brochure that is on the tables in the lobby area across the portico. So if you don't have one of these, you may pick them up, and it gives you a schedule of meeting times, of meal times, activities, all that sort of thing. Now, there is also an electronic brochure that was submitted a few days ago. If you have not received that, you might want to check your email. If you still need a copy, just let me know, and I can send it to your email address. But it goes into much more detail, possibly more than you want to know, but that's okay. I certainly am not going to walk through the schedule here. Just we do encourage, as has always been the case, to gather well before the meeting so that we can begin to enter into the moving of the Spirit. We come with hearts expecting. And God's people have an expecting heart. We have hope, as was just mentioned. Praise God. So it's almost a natural extension to have an expecting heart as well, right? But please come. We have set aside a space also for the young people. I know that the young people and young adults like to get together and pray prior to the meeting. So that is space that's made available on the first floor of the hotel across the portico. It's in the Kappa Alpha room. Is that correct, Jeff? Okay, thank you. Jeff is going to kind of go over a lot of just odds and ends. And when I mean a lot, it's not, again, we're not going to be here for 2 hours. But certainly some things that, you know, important safety tips, various things to know about the camp. It's a beautiful, we've heard a lot of comments from you folks already about how beautiful and how much you've enjoyed it already. Just some basic stuff, particularly about the facilities and about how to get from point A to point B. Some of you were able to avail yourself this afternoon of the tour, which we have appreciated the camp providing that for us. But for those of you who didn't have that opportunity, you may want to know where the pool is, or you may want to know what's the easiest way to get to the lake. I will say this about the lake. The lake is actually, whether you are aware of this or not, actually comes right up, pretty much up against the back of the hotel. You can't see it unless you're looking for it, because the trees are leafed out. But we just ask that you keep an eye on your little ones. They can get away from you quickly at times. And it's just down the hill and you're in the water. So keep that in mind. We want everyone to enjoy the facilities and to enjoy one another enjoying the facilities. So we look out for one another as a family of God. The towels, and we want to make sure you understand, the towels that are in your room, the bath towels, are for staying in the room. If you want a towel for going to the lake or to the pool, you need to have towels, one of your own towels for that. And we can certainly point you in the right direction of where you can go to get those. Again, if you pick one of these up, there's a list in here of grocery stores you can go to, or Walmarts, or that sort of thing, as well as laundromats. okay? So it's just a matter of punching in the GPS address and getting yourself to where they direct you. Jeff, if you wouldn't mind coming up, and while Jeff is working his way up, I was asked to read this. This is for the children's ministry. As you know, we have set aside 1 to 2 p.m. each day for the classes for the various age groups. And so I'm going to introduce to you those folks who are going to be leading those particular groups. And when I mention your name, if you'll please stand and remain standing so people will know who to look for their particular age group. Carol Leatherman. Carol? Okay, thank you, Carol. She is responsible for ages 6 and below, and that group will be meeting in conference room number 3, which has been targeted as the red room. I'm not sure if is that correct? Okay, I won't ask questions. All of these conference rooms are on the first floor of the hotel, so the same floor that the cafeteria or the dining area is. It's just down the hall from them. Okay, so for the next age group, age 7 to 12, Amy Kane. Amy, are you here? Oh, there she is. Please stand up. Amy's group is going to be in the conference room number 2, or the blue room. And so if you have any questions, you can certainly see Amy about that. The 13 and up group, and I'm not sure what up means, but I will leave this up to you. Kelvin Martin. Kelvin, if you wouldn't mind standing. And his group will take a bow. His group will be meeting in the Kappa Alpha room. If you want to know where that is, we'll give you the GPS address.
We're also going to meet here after service tonight for a very short time.
Okay. All right. 13 and up. All right. All right. Now, not to confuse things, but I'm sure I probably will before I'm done with this. Rebecca, if you wouldn't mind standing up, because there's an optional 13 to 14 age group. And I guess that's those who feel maybe they're not ready for that 13 and up group. If you would like to meet with just the 13 to 14-year-olds, then Rebecca will be the person that's going to be heading up that group. And they will be meeting in conference room number 1, which has been identified as the gold room. So I want to be there. okay, are there any questions about that? So, Jeff, if you wouldn't mind, I just wanted to say, Jeff and I have had the privilege to meet probably more than Jeff would like to have met, but we wanted to we knew that this was going to be, you know, some heavy lifting, and if we could do it early and often, maybe it wouldn't be quite so much the day that everybody shows up. So, you know, certainly we'll learn from things from today, but hopefully things have moved reasonably smoothly for everyone. Again, he has been just a phenomenal brother in the Lord. We've had some wonderful times together, and we look for many more wonderful times. But if you'll give an ear to Jeff and let him share things with you that I know that it's going to be important for you to hear, I would appreciate it. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Keith. Well, on behalf of Caraway, my executive director, Jimmy Huffman, as well as the rest of the Caraway staff, I just want to say welcome. We're glad you're here. This is what we do. So this is fun for us to have you here. And we're glad you're here. And we're excited. And we just trust and pray that you have a great time, that you will meet with the Lord, that he meets with you, and that you are blessed, and that you have just great time of fellowship and seeking God's face while you're here. Our goal is to try to eliminate the distractions for you and make this just as much of a focus as it can be for you to do what you came to do here. That is our goal. I do have some things that I want to mention. Again, I want to say thank you to Keith. Keith and I think, have become pretty good friends or the time. We've shared a lot of family things together and shared a lot of things, and I know, you know, we prayed together just about personal things that are going on in our families and those kind of things. So just appreciate him as a friend, and appreciate each of you as part of the family of God. And we're glad to have you. Let me just mention a few details that we might need to know. We do have a campsite and a conference center side. You are on the conference center side. There will be other guests here beginning tomorrow morning. There will be a boys camp going on the youth camp side. Now, we're going to be sharing some of the recreation areas with them, maybe not always at the same time, but some of them in close proximity. So I want you to be aware of that. They also know that you're here. Now you know that they will be here. They will run through Friday about noon. And also, there will be a couple smaller groups in the conference center as well. There will be a group Tuesday, and they'll be here at lunch, and they will be staying until Wednesday lunch. There's 11 of them. So you do have them outnumbered, if that's any, you know, you can feel comfort in that, at least. And then we have another group that will be coming in on Saturday and probably sharing lunch with you as well, and then they're staying on a little bit more. But that's also a very small group, even smaller than the 11 that are there. But I do want you to know that there are other people on campus, just so you're aware. Now, having said that, if you still see somebody and you're thinking, where's this, what's this person doing here? And they look like they're wandering through or something. And to be honest, we don't have much of that going on. We're way out here. It's not that easy to find. But should someone come up and you have any concerns, please share them with either myself or one of our staff or with Keith, because we do want to check on those kinds of things for your sake and also the sake of our youth camp going on. I want to give you some instructions just a little bit on how to get to the lake or the pool, and that is the best way, as Keith said, it's not far from the backside, lower side of the conference center. So if you are on the first floor of the conference center, which is the down one on the elevator, you come in on the second floor here, is kind of our main floor, and you go out any back door. Just keep working your way to a back door and go out. There are some trails that go down there. Now, these are trails. These are trails through the woods. So step lightly. Watch out for a loose rock or a root that's sticking up or something like that. But that will get you to the lake. If you go on across to the other side of the lake and continue on up some trails past the campsite dining hall, so the group that's at the camp, they will not be eating with us throughout the week. We have a separate dining hall for the campsite. But you go past that dining hall and just keep going, find the rec field, you will see the pool. It's the clean water swimming area. Those of you not from North Carolina, water here is a little bit dingy, but safe. I do also want to mention along that line that we are out in the country. There's 1,100 acres that Caraway has. Most of it's wooded. There are creatures that live in it. Someone says, is there anything that can bite? If it has a mouth, it can bite. That's the best I can do for you. So be wise. At nighttime, use a flashlight. There are some of these creatures that like to get that last warmth from the pavement and lay out there after the sun's gone down. There are flashlights in your rooms. There should be flashlights in your rooms. If there are not, let the office know, and we'll make sure that there's one in your room. Or if it's real dim and needs new batteries, we'll provide those also. In the dining hall, when you go through the line, if you would start filling tables kind of towards the back when you can still get past tables because people aren't sitting at them, that will help move things along. Because otherwise, you know, it's a little tight in that dining hall, but we haven't figured out a way to push the walls out and still keep the roof over the head to make it a little bit bigger. But That helps a little bit. Also, we do bus the tables, pick up the plates for you. So when you're done, if someone hasn't bused your table, just leave the plates there, and our staff will be happy to take care of that for you. If you do have any day guests coming, I haven't heard of too many that are coming, but if you do have someone who calls and wants to show up and have a meal with you, just let us know so we can make sure we have the food prepared for them, but more than happy to have them come. I also want to mention the recreation a little bit. You have schedules posted. They're posted in this building. They're posted on the windows of the building next door, the hotel. A piece there, also a couple other places, those are posted. There are some recreation options in the afternoon beginning at about 2 o'clock. Actually, the pool, when that's open, will probably open just 15 minutes early in case some people are after lunch and are not involved in some of the youth meetings want to start making their way over there. But so check that schedule for those recreation. There's some recreation that we need you to sign up for. There are sign-up sheets in the lobby where you picked up your keys. Do not sign up beyond the number that is listed there, because that's how many we can handle. Now, should something fill up, and there's a group of you that say, we still would like to do that, but everything's full, we will see what we can do and work out with the campsite group as far as being able to use that piece of recreation equipment to be able to do that. So let us know. We want to meet those needs if we can. Having said that, most of the things you sign up for, you need to wait for us to get there to run those. Now, there are some recreational activities, such as volleyball, and there's some volleyball that's really behind this building out towards the Acorn Village, which where some of you that are staying in the, some of the guys are staying in the Jackman Lodge. There's some volleyball over there. There's Nine Square in the Air, and if you don't know how to play those things, just Google it, and you'll find instructions for that. There's Octoball, sometimes called Gaga Ball, over there, and you Google that. It'll tell you how to play those things, or just ask one of our staff, and we'll share that with you. But some of those things you can do, you know, on your own whenever you want to. But if it involves something that you probably are getting off the ground, and you should be in a harness, don't just go out there and try it on your own. We would like to be there to catch you when you fall. So be aware of that and some of the other things that you're signing up for. Now, to get to the pool and lake, we want you to just find your way over there. But some of the other recreation things, we will meet certain places. The adventure recreation, which is a zip line high ropes course, some of the games on the ground called, we call GWAP, which is Games with a Purpose, or Team Building, Group Initiative, if you've done some of those kind of things. Those will be over in the recreation area, which is pretty much right behind this building. Go past the camp office and just keep looking for a high ropes course. It's kind of on poles and up in a tree and has wires. You'll see it there eventually. For the archery class, meet in the lobby, and we'll be walking over to the archery area, at least for the first day. See what else I might need to mention. I think we're getting there pretty much. If you have any concerns that you have, some people have talked about some medical things, issues that you have, any dietary issues you have, please let us know. We certainly want to be able to accommodate those and provide a great experience for all of you. So again, I thank you for the opportunity that you have given to Caraway to serve you. And that is really what we're here to do. We thank you for being here. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Is the canteen going to be open, the snack bar area?
Keith has asked about a canteen or snack bar area open. On the campsite by the pool, there is a canteen, and I know that the boys' camp program has that open during certain times. And I'm sure you'd be welcome to go there and see if you want to get some refreshment from that. That'd be fine. And I will let them know that we may be joining them and getting something cool and refreshing over there at different times. I have no idea what their costs are for some of those items, but they'll be happy to let you know that, I'm sure. Okay, any other questions possibly?
Dave, we'll just say it.
Sure.
Just, I needed a show of hands of anyone that was interested in going to the zoo tomorrow. Is there anyone planning on going? No one? Okay. All right, that's fine. If there's a change, let me know, and we can make arrangements for you. Let's stand, and we'll close in prayer. Just stand with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your many, many blessings, too numerous to count, Lord. We thank you for the moving of your Holy Spirit with us here tonight. We thank you, Lord, that you have provided traveling mercies to your people. We thank you for the staff here at Caraway and the diligence that they have applied to preparing for our arrival. Lord, we ask that you bless tonight as we gather to partake of refreshments, that you bless those refreshments to the nourishment of our body. Lord, help us that we will continue to fellowship in a way that is pleasing to you, Lord, and that we will partake one of another of the Spirit of Christ. Lord, we ask, O God, that as we turn in for the day, as we pillow our heads for the evening, that you give us a great peaceful rest. Lord, let your healing virtue flow throughout this camp, Lord. Let those who have a need to be touched in the physical body, Lord, that you touch them. Lord, we sense the moving of your Spirit and thy presence even now, Lord, and we just know that that work has been started, and we look to a completion, Lord, of that work. We praise you, Lord. We give you all the praise and the glory. Go with us now, Lord, as we gather elsewhere, and give us your blessings and sweet, sweet sleep. In Jesus' name we ask, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it.